So it's wonderful to see so many people in this last class of this marathon of learning about the Haggadah. Today we're going to be, I'm going to be talking about the kind of the final movement in the Haggadah. Of course, we have the songs at the end, but really Hallel is the conclusion of the Haggadah. And it makes sense that it's the conclusion, right? Because Hallel, the Shirah, the song, is also the conclusion of Yetziat Mitzrayim, right? It's the conclusion of, well, we conclude Yetziat Mitzrayim with Shirat Hayam. And the sense is that this is the way we are meant to conclude Geula, any sort of experience of redemption, which is, of course, what we are re-experiencing on the Seder night, is meant to be accompanied with this resounding song, this Hallel, this praise to God. The problem is, however, that Hallel maybe doesn't come as naturally as one would think. One of the other great events in the Tanakh, and perhaps the event which is most reminiscent of the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, is when Yerushalayim is saved from the hands of the Assyrian king Sanharib. And the king of Yerushalayim at the time is Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and it's a great miraculous salvation. We have these 185,000 Assyrian troops that are coming to wage war against Yerushalayim. They want to put Yerushalayim under a siege. And of course, this great angel of God, very reminiscent of the angel of death in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, he kind of sweeps through the Assyrian camp. And when they wake up in the morning, everyone is dead, right? So there's some kind of plague that sweeps through the camp and everybody is dead. And Yerushalayim is saved. And it's a remarkable event. And it really echoes throughout the Tanakh. I mean, the story itself is told and retold three times in Tanakh, once in Sefer Melachim in the Book of Kings, once in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, once in Sefer Yeshayahu, but it really echoes throughout the Book of Tehillim. Yeshayahu refers to this event all the time. But what I want to show you is what the Gemara says about this event. The Gemara says, well, this event really seems to be a messianic moment. It seems to be one of those tipping points at which we could easily move into some kind of ideal state of affairs, some kind of end of days scenario. And the Gemara explains to us as follows. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asot Chizkiyahu Mashiach. God wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, v'Sanharib Gog u'Magog. And Sanharib was going to be that enemy, that prototype of the enemy who will be defeated, the one who attacks Yerushalayim and of course is defeated by God. Wow, that's sounding kind of familiar. But in this case, of course, we have Sanharib, who was the enemy, Amra Midat Hadin Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the trait of judgment, speaks before God and objects to the taking of this story to a place of redemption. Midat Hadin says to God, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Uma David HaMelech, Sha'amar Kama Shirot V'Tishbechot Lefanecha, Lo Asito Mashiach, Chizkiyahu, Sha'asita Lo Kol Anisim Halalu, V'lo amar shira lefanecha, ta'aseu mashiach. Right? So the attribute of justice comes before God and says, listen, David HaMelech wrote for you many different songs, many different praises, many different mizmorei tehillim, and you did not make him the mashiach. And Chizkiyahu the king, after all of these great miracles that you made for him, he did not sing a song of salvation, a song of praise before you. You're going to make him Mashiach? So I guess really, you know, we have a very basic question here, which is why did Chizkiyahu fail to sing the song? And I guess another question as well, which is what is this song that he was supposed to sing? Is it intuitive? Why is the song so important to the process of redemption? But before we get there, I want to mention But actually, it seems to be that there's a pretty similar attitude towards what takes place when they come out of Egypt. And I'll just mention that the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the story of Am Yisrael being redeemed from Egypt, being liberated from Egypt, this is a story which we know well in advance of the events themselves, which take place, of course, in the first chapters of the book of Shemot. But we already know how this story is going to unfold from the Brit Bein HaBetarim, from the covenant that God makes with Avram in the 15th chapter of Sefer Bereishit. And God tells Avram many of the details in this story. He also tells Moshe how the story is going to unfold at the burning bush. But actually, there is one event which is not foretold in advance, and that is the splitting of the sea. That event seems to be spontaneous. It is not told beforehand to Abraham and is not told at the beginning of the story to Moshe. Now, picking up on this point, a Midrash asks why the story of the splitting of the sea takes place. And the Midrash explains that it says in the story, at the beginning of that story of Am Yisrael standing at the sea and all of a sudden turning around and seeing Paro and his army and his 600 chariots approaching, the pasuk tells us, "U Paro hi kriv." Paro drew near. Mahu hi kriv? The Midrash asks the question, what does that mean? He drew near. Shehi kriv et Yisrael l'tshuva. He brought Am Yisrael near to God. He brought them close to repentance. Why? Because it is only because of this event that Am Yisrael prayed to God. And look down at the part that I bolded here in yellow. Ilulei she'asiti lachem kein, God says, had I not brought you to the sea, lo shamati et kolchem, I would never have heard your voice. In other words, this midrash seems to assume that the reason that the story does not end with the plague of the firstborn, but has a whole other movement, an unexpected movement, a kind of an epilogue to the story that was not foretold in advance, is because there's something missing from the story. And that is Am Yisrael's voice. And they base this, the Midrash, on the psukim in Shir HaShirim, which describe the dove in the crook of the rock. And of course, the dod, the beloved, calls out to the dove, Har'ini et mar'aich, show me your countenance, Hashmi'ini et kolech, let me hear your voice. And the Midrash says, this is describing Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. God brings Am Yisrael to the sea and creates this whole troubling episode because he wants to hear their voice. The following Midrash, which is the next Midrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, explains very explicitly that when God brought them to the sea, he said, Har'ini et mar'aich, show me your countenance. Stand there and see the salvations of God. Let me hear your voice. Zo hashira. This is God's request that Am Yisrael sing a shira. And so what transpires here, according to these midrashim, is that Am Yisrael did not intuitively sing this song of liberation. In other words, what the Midrash seems to be suggesting is that Am Yisrael should have sung a song of salvation, a song of gratitude to God after the end of the Ten Makot. And they don't do so. And so God brings the Egyptian army to pursue them in order to show them God's miracles once again, in order to kind of prod them to say this great Shira. There was something lacking in the story, and that's why God brings the splitting of the sea. That's the way that these Midrashim seem to present it. But really, I think this draws our attention to the fact that it's difficult to sing Shira. There's in these stories of redemption, we read these stories and they're so remarkable, these stories. They're so astounding. And you have to ask yourself, why didn't Chizkiyahu sing Shirah after Yerushalayim was saved from Chizkiyahu HaMelech? Why didn't Am Yisrael immediately sing a Shirah right after they come out of Egypt? Why do we have to wait for these events, for them to be prodded, for them to be rebuked or chastised, or even in the case of Chizkiyahu, to really miss this great opportunity? So I want to turn our attention to a section of the Haggadah, which actually Shuli, it was part of Shuli's section, but I spoke to Shuli beforehand just to make sure she wasn't going to be speaking about this, because I think this is, of course, the lead-in to Hallel, which is the song Dayenu. I think the song Dayenu might provide for us an explanation as to why it is difficult to sing Shirah. Presumably, it is difficult to sing a song of salvation when one is going through the process of redemption, because the process of redemption is just that. It's a process. It takes a long time in order to be able to see the fruits of that redemption. Of course, Chizkiyahu, when he is sitting in Jerusalem looking at all of the Assyrians, all of the 185,000 troops who died overnight, of course, he is amazed by that event, but he can't quite forget the fact that 46 Judean cities were conquered and destroyed by this same Assyrian army, that the Judean kingdom has suffered a terrible blow in the years past, that, only 20 years prior to the salvation of Yerushalayim, the 10 tribes were taken off into exile by this same Assyrian enemy. Chizkiyahu's not sure that this is the right time to sing a Shirah. The process of redemption, it's a complex process. And when Am Yisrael leave Egypt, they leave behind a destroyed world. According to some of the Midrashim, they leave behind many of their own nation, and they haven't yet reached the goal. They may have left Egypt, but they haven't received the Torah. They haven't gone to Eretz Yisrael. They haven't built the Beit HaMikdash. And yet, when we sing this song, Dayenu, what we are saying is, and I always thought it is a rather strange song in terms of the content of the song. I thought this for many years when we would sing the song where we say, well, if you had taken us out of Egypt, but you had not given us Shabbat, that would have been enough. Well, if you had given us Shabbat, but you had not given us the Torah, that would have been enough. Well, if you had given us the Torah, but you had not brought us into the land of Israel, that would have been enough. And every time I sing the song, I say to myself, it most certainly would not have been enough. Why are we singing this, right? That wouldn't have been enough. We want to get to the end. But what is this song teaching us? This song is teaching us, Dayenu Lashir. It would have been enough to sing a song of Hodaya, to sing a song of gratitude. Not only would it have been enough, but we are required to sing a song of Hallel at every step along the way. That's the way we get to the next step, by pausing and appreciating and expressing gratitude and understanding the magnitude and the enormity of each step and each gift that God gives us. Now, I'm sitting here in Alon Shvut. I assume some of you are in Israel, some of you are in America. We here in Alon Shvut were woken up at 1:30 in the morning by many booms, and we spent, as I'm sure all of you did, a very difficult evening with these, knowing that the rockets were on their way. It was really quite an experience, one that I, hope we'll never have again. And it was quite difficult. And yet, of course, we woke up in the morning and we all felt the need to sing Hallel. And as part of my processing this event, I decided that I was going to a little bit switch what I had planned to talk about today, and that I was going to write a song of Dayenu. And just to give a little bit of a sense of what Dayenu is really telling us that we are meant to do. And so I wrote this song of Dayenu that I think reflects the process that we have been going through. We, the Jewish people, have merited to experience in the past 75 years. And so I brought for you here a picture of the Exodus ship, and I wrote, Ilu hotzianu misreifot hashoah, v'lo natan lanu et ha-medina, dayenu. Had God just brought us from the Holocaust, but had not declared for us a state, that would have been enough to sing Shirah. If God had just declared for us a state, but had not fought our battles for us, that would have been enough to sing a Shirah. Had God just fought our battles for us and not gathered in our exiles, that would have been enough to sing a Shirah. Had God brought back our exiles and not unified Yerushalayim, that would have been enough to sing a Shirah. Had God unified Yerushalayim and not broadened Yerushalayim to make enough room for all of the residents, Dayenu, that would have been enough to sing a Shirah. Had God broadened Yerushalayim and not made the desert bloom, that would have been enough to sing a Shirah. This one's my personal favorite. Had God made the desert bloom and not revived Torah learning for men and particularly for women, there are more yeshivot today in the world than ever in the history of Am Yisrael. There are more people who are learning. And this here is a picture of Matan in Yerushalayim, of all of the women learning Torah. That is enough to sing a Shirah. And had God revived Torah learning and not brought about the fulfillment of the prophecies of Zechariah, that children will once again play in the streets of Jerusalem, that elderly people will walk the streets of Jerusalem, that too would be enough to sing a Shirah. Had God fulfilled the prophecies of Zechariah and not brought for us gas fields off of the coast of the land of Israel, that would have been enough to sing a Shirah. And now I bring for you a picture of last night's remarkable story. And I bring for you a picture on the side of the Air Force acting as agents of God. V'hi she'amda lavoteinu v'lanu, she'lo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chalotenu, ela she'bechol dor v'dor, omdim aleinu l'chalotenu, v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu bi'adam. We know that in every generation, there is someone who wants to destroy us. And these are some of the rockets from last night. And that, of course, is enough to sing a Shirah. Dayenu, right? This is the song of Dayenu. The song of Dayenu teaches us that at each stage in the process, we are meant to sing a Shirah. And even though, od lo havilanu, even if we have not yet reached the final stage of the process, Dayenu, we are meant to sing a Shirah. And now to return to the Shirah in Tanakh. What is the Shirah in Tanakh teaching us? After every great event in Tanakh, after every Geulah in Tanakh, and Tanakh, of course, is the story of God's salvations, we are meant to sing a Shirah. We are meant to recognize God's salvations. But what is this Shirah? I think the Shirah really has two stages, as we learn from Shirat Hayam. The first stage of the Shirah is Hakarat HaTov. It is saying, Zeh Eli V'Anvehu. It is pointing at the events and saying, this is my God, and I shall praise him. The second stage of the Shirah is spreading the idea of God in the world. It is when Shamu Amim Yirgazun, it's when the nations hear, it's when Yoshvei Plashet hear, it's when the Alufei Edom hear, it's when the Elei Moav hear. That's the second idea of Shira. One Shira is internal, and the second stage of Shira is external. At the end of Shirat Hayam, we crown God king. For the first time in Tanakh, God is described as a melech. Hashem yimloch le'olam va'ed. And this hamlachat Hashem, this coronation of God, is the conclusion of a story that began by describing the great power of the human king, Vayakom Melech Chadash al Mitzrayim. This new king rises up over Egypt. This new king, this king, this Paro, he is the symbol of human power, which dares to believe that it can somehow confront and overcome God's power. The story of Yetziat Mitzrayim revolves around the human king who appears over and over and over in the story. But of course, the final pasuk in the story is Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. The story is meant to teach us that no human king has power that is autonomous, that is independent of God. Even that king that is so pleased with his own accomplishments that he is swimming in his Nile, claiming, Li ye'ori va'ani asitini, that's my Nile, I created it. Even that human king that says, Mi Hashem asher shma bekolo, lo yadati et Hashem, who is God that I should listen to his voice? I do not know God. That king is trumped by the divine king. And it is the events of the Exodus. It's the events of Ge'ulah that are meant to show the world God's presence. In fact, that's what this Midrash tells us. This Midrash tells us that, in fact, Am Yisrael were not taken out of Egypt because they were deserving of it, but rather, Leman Tisaper Be'oznei Bincha, So you should tell your children, Litain Shevach Lemakom, Shebanav Misaprim Kvodo Ben Ha'akum, because the children are meant to continue spreading God's word among the idolaters, among the outside world, as it says, Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, Sapru Vagoyim Kvodo. And this Shir Chadash, we are meant to learn from Shirat Hayam, from the old Shira, from the Song of the Sea, that every Ge'ula, that every redemption requires a Shir Chadash, a new song, one in which first we acknowledge God's presence, and then we spread that presence to the world. The phrase Shir Chadash appears seven times in Tanakh, six times in Sefer Tehillim, and once in Sefer Yeshayahu. And every time it appears in the context of a new redemption. In Yeshayahu, Rav Yosef Kara says, it's about the return from Bavel. We are told, Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, sing a new song. You have been redeemed from exile. You have been restored to your land. Sing a new song. Shadal says the same thing. But Radak says, what is this Shir Chadash that Yeshayahu is urging us to sing? It is a song that we are meant to sing. Be'et Ge'ulat Yisrael. Whenever Am Yisrael is redeemed. And this Shir Chadash is always about spreading it to the world at large and coronating God. Look at the Shir Chadash that appears in Tehillim Tzadivav, which we of course sing as we welcome the Shabbat during Kabbalat Shabbat. Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash, sing this new song. Kol Haaretz, the whole world should sing it. Sapru Vagoyim Kivodo, Bechol Ha'amim Niflotav, tell the song to the nations. Tell the song, tell God's miracles and God's wonders to the entire world. Look down in the part that I colored in gray. Imru vagoyim Adonai Malach. Say among the nations that God is the one who is ruling. The same idea is present in this other very familiar Mizmor Tehillim that we say during Kabbalat Shabbat, Tehillim Tzadichet. Once again, the Mizmor describes or urges us to sing a Shir Chadash. What is this Shir Chadash? Hodia Hashem Yeshuato le'enei hagoyim gila tzidkato. He is showing his wonders, his greatness to all of the world through the medium of redeeming Am Yisrael. Hariu lifnei hamelech Hashem. We are meant to use these great events, these really, I think, life-changing events, events like 331 rockets being hurled at Israel by a superpower of which most of which were shot down before they came. There was, you know, some damage done. Unfortunately, a young girl was injured. And you know, this is something that we are very, you know, we're obviously very upset about and we're davening for. But when you look at the scale of the attack and the magnitude of the salvation, I think that it requires a Shir Chadash. I think it has drawn the attention of the world, which is exactly what it's meant to do. And this, of course, is how we conclude Sefer Tehillim. In the final six Mizmorim of Sefer Tehillim, which we say every morning in Tfilah as part of Psukei Dezimra, we move towards this acknowledgement of God's presence in the world through the medium of having brought Am Yisrael to Geula, back to the land of Israel. We say, Yimloch Hashem Le Olam, God will now reign forever. Shiru La Hashem, Shir Chadash. We now have to sing to God this new song. Kol Hanishama Tehalelya Hallelujah. All creatures are now going to sing to God. And so I think that what we see in the Tanakh, and again, if I had more time, I'd be able to sort of unpack this idea for you. But I think one of the things that we see in Tanakh is that the Tanakh is the story of God saving Am Yisrael. The most important stories in the Tanakh revolve around this idea of God's redemptions of Am Yisrael. But God's redemptions of Am Yisrael are not simply a gift. They are also a responsibility. They are given to Am Yisrael to teach us to sing a Shir Chadash, a new song, a song in which we acknowledge God's presence in the world. And then we surge forward in order to spread that knowledge of God to the world through the medium of God's salvations of Am Yisrael. We are meant, the world is meant to see God's presence. The world is meant to see God's kingship, and the world is meant to acknowledge this God's presence in the world through these great acts that he does for Am Yisrael. And so I think when we come to say Hallel this year in the at the Seder, and we daven, of course, for all of the for good news and for success for our troops and for the return of the hostages and for the refuah, the healing of the wounded, and for the success of Am Yisrael, and for the moral clarity that we would like the world to have. And we say as part of Hallel, Lefichach, therefore, Anachnu chayavim lehodot. We are obligated to praise. Lahalel, l'shabeach, l'fa'er, l'romeim, l'hader, l'varech, l'alei u'lekaleis, l'mi sha'asa l'avoteinu vilanu et kol anisim ha'elu. We are obligated to praise the one who did both for our forefathers and for us all of these great miracles. Hotzianu me'avdut l'cheirut, miyagon l'simcha, me'evel l'yom tov, me'afela l'or gadol, u'mishiabud l'geula, v'nomar l'fanav, shira chadasha, hallelujah. We are meant to praise God and to say this new song Even if we are not at the end of our journey, we are meant to pause at this point in our journey and to understand that we are obligated to sing a Shira Chadasha, to recognize the miracles and the kindnesses that God has given us thus far, and to pray for the continuation of these miracles. And so I wish you all a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, a Chag of Bisorot Tovot, of Yeshuot and Nechamot. I don't know, maybe I went a little bit over. I apologize if
no,
I did.
No apologies needed. There are about 500 comments asking you for Dayenu and how beautiful that was, and I second them all. So if you could please forward me the Dayenu, I will send it to everybody. I don't have it for those that I wrote them back. So I many people want to say it at the Seder. So really, and people, you know, just that was really quite moving and quite unbelievable. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. And thank you, everybody. I just want to once again thank really Jeff Weiss for his sponsorship of the program in memory of his parents, Benjamin and Judith White, Binyamin Ben Chaim, and Chaya Vittel, but Kutiel Yehuda. And I agree with Barbara, if I can say. I think she just put a comment that people should, we greatly do appreciate donations. As you know, everything we do, we don't charge, but it's not free. Believe me, what we do is not free by a long shot. And so if people do want to donate before Pesach is a time of donations, we do greatly appreciate that. But since Barbara, I'm seconding what you said. I want to thank everybody for coming. Thank all our speakers. And really, Yael, that was a beautiful way to end really a wonderful day of learning. And now people can go and prepare for Pesach, you know, mamash. Can do other things that they often do, like clean, but or not too much. But anyways, okay. And I will post in. Of course, we have programs all week. We have a whole bunch of shirim still, which will be an hour. We'll give the speakers a little bit time to a little bit more time. Well, you know, we rush the speakers, but if you want to have 9 speakers, go through, you know, Elu ve'elu divrolim chayim, different approaches to learning. So thank you. And we look forward to learning with all of you again. And I just put in, I'm sure many of you have seen it, but the programs for the week, yes, we will send out. Takes a day or two, you know, our tech team to put up the recordings. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes, but please go within a day or two. We'll have the recordings. Once the recordings are up, we will send it out to everybody. And we've got plenty of Pesach recordings anyways up from programs we've done. You can listen. And thank you very much. And okay.
Thank you for a wonderful day.
Okay. Thank you very much. And okay. Everybody be well. And we should hear good news and Bisarot Tovot. And I have much to say with good things. It'd be a wonderful Pesach.